What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Everyone celebrates at 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock on Tuesdays. Everyone celebrates at 2 o'clock every day, but 3 o'clock on Tuesdays because it is Tuesdays with Elliot. Elliot Shore Parks joins us of the Go Birds podcast.
That's exactly right. What's up?
How we feeling, Elliot?
Dude, I feel great.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm operating on all levels right now. Yeah. I really feel like they're going to the Super Bowl. So I spent the beginning of the month like getting in a good schedule, workout, eating right. So I feel good.
All right. Good, good, good. Yeah. So we started today. I had mentioned that, and I've been on this for a little while, and the Eagles have gotten pretty conservative in terms of going for it on fourth, going for two, even in the pass game as well. It seems like Jalen is deferring to, you know, throw it away or eat it rather than throwing a pass. And I think it was on Sunday, the first sign was they didn't go for it fourth and four. I think it was on the Green Bay 39 or 38.
Yeah, I think they punted twice from inside their own side of the or
the
from
other
the territory,
Green,
yeah,
yes.
Which is very rare for them.
Yeah, and then there were the run, the third and nine run play, the third and 12 run play, and I feel like it's gotten too far. And for me, it's like we have games that are close that maybe shouldn't be. I think Sunday's game felt close. It was a one score game in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
The Washington game, maybe we win if it's not as close as it is. So do you think that the pendulum has swung too far in the conservative, decision making for the Eagles?
So I would say no. I think that we'll get the true answer to that question when they have to not be conservative. Like, that's my worry with the way they're playing now. My worry is when the moment comes when all of a sudden you need to throw it 35 times, just will Jalen check back into that? Now, I think they can definitely win with Jalen throwing 35 times. Like, I think he can lead them to a win when the defense gives up over 30 points or whatever. So I don't have a concern about his ability to do it. It's just when you play one way for a while, it can be hard to transition. But overall, no. I mean, that's why, when I rewatched the game, like, I came away more impressed. I'm fine with this style of football. They win this way all the time. So I don't know. Well, he can do that little sound, and it's great to have you back, Jack.
Yeah.
But it's true.
Well, so you said when they need to. Like, to me, it's not about that. To me, it's about put the team away when you have a chance to put them away. And everyone says, well, we control the ball. Well, what better way to control the ball than to get a whole another set of downs when the
right
opportunity is there? And I just wonder why. Like, I wonder why they've gone that far when they're not going for it on fourth in Green Bay's territory. And when people say, well, they trust the defense, well, I think it trusts the defense to go for it,
yeah,
too.
You can spin that either way.
Yeah, it's either way. So.
I just think they know if they don't turn the ball over, they're incredibly hard to beat. So while
sure,
I agree with you, like, of course, you want to be up 21 points instead of 10 points, and you can put – I get all that. Ultimately, the flip side of that is if you do start becoming more aggressive and you do take more chances with the ball, you're right. It could go the way you're talking about, where you make big plays and you get big leads. But the flip side of that is it could go the opposite way. You could
right
get turnovers. You could get three and outs because you're taking deep shots instead of running it. And they have found a winning formula. And the winning formula is Jalen is ultra conservative with the football. That's what he was on Sunday. Like, there weren't guys running wide open, which is why I think he played better than others do. But ultimately, when they went up 10-0, they decided, all right, like, we're up 10-0. The defense is playing great. No need to get to get any type of like tricky here. Let's see this game out. And they ended up winning by 12. They could have won by 19 if Saquon didn't go down. Jake doesn't miss a kick. That's 20. Like, they still had a very good day offensively.
No, they didn't.
Well, they almost scored 30 points. So,
well, they scored 22, which is not almost 30.
Right, but they could have had 29 if Saquon just runs. Do you disagree?
You could do that all day long.
We do know that.
But this isn't doing like if the flag isn't thrown. Well, this is he was literally running
he
went down.
I mean, I don't want to bore anyone with metrics, but they didn't have a good offensive day when you compare their offensive day with every other offensive day they've had this year.
But they basically had 30 points. So like I get it wasn't the most outstanding day. I agree with that. But it's not like it was a concerning offensive day.
Oh, sure it was. I mean,
why?
Well, okay. So you said you gave Jalen Hurts a C-.
When you watched the game. Yeah.
And then you rewatched it and you predictably upgraded him to a B.
Good call by you.
You're right. So why did you upgrade him to a B?
So for me, for a quarterback, like a bad game for a quarterback has to have three things. Turnovers, missed throws where your accuracy is poor, or you're missing opportunities where there are throws that are there and you're not making the throws. Jalen didn't do any of those things. No turnovers. I thought his accuracy was mostly good on the 24 dropbacks. You could probably do one or two plays.
I think there were 29 dropbacks.
Okay. I'm doing the 24 where he threw it. You're right.
Okay.
And then there was no guys where I looked and I thought, he's wide open. Why is the ball not going here? Maybe once or twice, but it certainly was a problem throughout the game. Like the Carolina game, guys were open and he wasn't throwing it. I didn't see that against Green Bay. So without those three things, you're basically already, in my opinion, at like an average game. And so then why does he get to go up to a B? One, because he didn't turn it over, which is a huge part of this. He won the game, huge part of it. And I mean, he did. And you can dismiss the turnover and the win thing all you want, but that really matters. So I thought he played like a winning game. So I gave him a B.
A B.
What would you have given him?
I thought C minus D plus was accurate.
See, but doesn't that seem super harsh to you?
No.
Why?
D plus?
Yeah.
I don't know, C minus, D plus.
But like, again,
sure, C minus is fine. He didn't turn the ball over.
How many like bad plays did he have? But he had the sack that he took that was bad, right?
Yes, it was terrible.
That was a really bad play. I agree with that. But again, no interceptions, no guys. Like, think about some at times this year. There was the Tampa Bay game where Saquon's running wide open at the beginning of the game, doesn't throw it. That's a really bad play. The Carolina game where AJ twice runs over the middle of the field for a touchdown, he doesn't throw it to him. That's a bad play.
I think
he didn't have those against
you're
Green
grading
Bay.
Him on a curve.
You guys are grading him on a very low bar.
Yeah,
congratulations. He didn't turn the ball over.
You're grading him compared to other Jalen games. You're not grading him compared to a flat score.
But I think any quarterback that doesn't turn the ball over and wins the game is getting more than a D plus or a C.
Is he raising the ceiling of this Eagles team?
Let me ask you this.
No, he's not.
Let me ask you this. How do you think Lamar plays Saturday night?
You asking me?
All three of us. All four of us.
I thought Lamar played pretty good.
Lamar played good.
Yeah.
Jack?
Fine.
175 yards.
Right.
Two touchdowns.
Yeah.
But, okay, so is there anything wrong with that?
No.
They scored 28 points. They didn't score 38 points.
Right.
They scored 28 points, right, against Pittsburgh. So what I'm saying is that you can have this type of game and have a good game and not be criticized. I think that's where Eagle fans at times get frustrated about Jalen, because they're like, okay, what are we making the main thing here? Is it winning? Is he helping the team win? Is he holding the team back from winning? Like, we can't say he's holding them back from winning because they win as much as they win.
Sure. One thing you said yesterday, though, is if you were to guess how they're not going to win this year, if they lose one of these games, it will be most likely because the passing game isn't good enough.
So I looked this. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
So I looked this up earlier, and I'm genuinely curious for your guys' perspective on this, because I agree with you. I think most fans are worried if he has to throw it a ton, they're not going to win. Or if the defense has a bad game. Well, hold on.
Okay.
I think I'm saying that's what I think the concern of the fans is.
Right.
Right? If they don't throw it 40 times because he can't throw it 40 times.
That's fine. Go ahead. Finish.
I mean,
misinterpreting what I'm saying.
No, I'm not saying you.
Okay.
I'm saying the general thing about Jalen is he doesn't throw it because he can't throw it a lot, or they're only winning because of the defense.
Okay.
So I looked this up. Jalen Hurts, when he has to throw it 35-plus times over the past 3 years, is 12-2. Josh Allen, when he has to throw it 35-plus times, is 12-8. Matthew Stafford, 5-10. Jalen, when the defense gives up 30-plus points over the past 3 years, he's 6-4. Josh Allen is 1-4 when his defense gives up over 30 points, and Matthew Stafford is 1-7. So, to me, this says...
Oh, don't cook, man. Let him cook!
So... His defense gives up 30-plus points more than Josh Allen and Matthew Stafford, and he wins at a higher percentage. And when he throws it 35-plus times, he wins a higher percentage of his games. So what's the concern that that's the situation right. that could get put? Not you. I'm just saying in general.
Oh, it is
there's
him.
This,
there's no, it
this.
Isn't me. Because my
I'm not yeah. saying you.
Well, okay. I know what the real concern is then.
Well, but my concern, is, first of all, I don't want him to throw it 35 or 40 times. It's not about getting in a shootout. That's right. not what I'm talking about.
Okay.
What I'm talking about is like we could lose a game 24-21 that we didn't have to only have 21 points in. That we have the ability to score more.
I agree with you that their games, because of the way they play, there's a slim margin for error.
Yes.
Right? If their whole thing's going to be we're up 10, let's kind of pack it.
There's no proof of this.
Well,
there's no proof of this with the Eagles. There's no proof that they've lost a game from being too conservative.
I agree.
There's no proof of this.
My thought, not this year. There isn't.
Last year?
Well, I can't.
We've been here. They didn't lose because
the main issue last year was they were
throwing because they're too conservative and they lost the game being too conservative. It hasn't happened in the 3 years.
What Elliott said is genuine. Generally, what I believe is that when you shorten the game, which is what they're doing, you're increasing the chance of randomness. You're mm-hmm. increasing the chance that you're going to lose a game that you shouldn't mm-hmm. because you're not going to be up more than you should be.
Right.
And I always want to use this phrase. I'm not allowed. Can I use that? No, I can't. We're in the point of the year where we are facing the best of the best of the best, and that's my concern is that.
So I don't know if the Rams honestly qualify as that. Like
or Washington.
Yeah.
Well, Washington is probably better. They did win 12 games.
I think Washington's
better. I had to think about their record. They did win 12 games.
Washington's better than the Rams, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, because of the quarterback.
And Tampa Bay.
Yeah, but I don't think either of those defenses are worrisome.
I agree.
Yeah. I think that it's so clear how what they've decided to do. Last year, the major problem was Jalen turned it all over all the time. The defense was an issue, and they've obviously corrected that. Mm-hmm. But the main problem with the team was the turnovers. And so now and I saw this in training camp. Training camp stats don't lie. They were being conservative in training camp, too, with where they were throwing the ball and the interceptions. And that's how they're winning. So, yes, I do actually side a little more with you, Spike, that it is – there is a smaller margin for error, but the track record is so large that I can't get worried that all of a sudden it's going to bite them.
That's fair. Right, well, the track record for this year.
Yeah.
Their record overall, too, is very good. But yes.
They haven't played like this in other years. This is the only year they've played like this.
You know, in 2022, you're right. I think they were a little more throw it all over the field, but he didn't turn it over a lot then either. And I think his attempts and stuff is relatively close.
Well,
I have to look it up.
You're just talking about Jalen. I'm not just talking about Jalen.
Oh, okay.
But that's the passing offense, though.
Sure.
It is Jalen. It's Jalen. We know it's Jalen. You're not concerned about the O-line. You're not concerned about the wide receivers.
No. But I'm lumping... If we want to separate it, that's fine. I'm lumping the decision to go for it on fourth also
But that is pertaining to
him.
The quarterback. I don't believe they just all of a sudden said, you know what? Forget about all the analytics we believed in the last few years. We're going to do it this way. What they did was stop trying to fit a square peg into a round hole just because it's what their data says, and they have decided to react in real time. And through those first four games, things didn't look good, and they found the formula. They tweaked it. They found it, as painful as it may have been for them, and it's worked for them, where they've won through coaching this way. So they've accepted this is what it is, and this is how we're going to coach.
So, Elliott, do you think on a 4th-and-4 in Green Bay territory that they're not going for it because they don't trust Jalen?
So, in this past game, one of them, I thought they kicked because of the time on the clock. But overall, I think the 4th-and-4 that they didn't go for, I don't think it's because they don't trust Jalen. No.
Okay.
I think it's because they trust the defense and they just punt it. But
I disagree with that.
I'm also,
I disagree with that. And I'm a Jalen guy.
Sure, yeah.
But it's not as if he's been operating at the highest level throwing the football this year. He's done it at times when he's been asked to. But there's no doubt in my mind that this is a direct result of his play earlier in the season. What he can do out there as a passer. What do you think? If they had the ability to do this, they had full confidence that he would convert it, why wouldn't they go for it?
So that's where
why wouldn't they go for it?
I think Jalen, to an extent, like, they can't do everything they want with Jalen at quarterback, but I think they have found the formula to win with Jalen. So, and it clearly works.
I don't think it's a bad thing, by the way. Like I'm not saying it as a criticism. I'm actually giving them credit for figuring this out and not forcing the issue like they were doing the first 4 weeks of the season.
I think that is the best point you make. Is they're giving this might not be overall the best way. These might not be overall numbers the best way in a grand sense in football, but in this particular situation, with the way this quarterback is playing, with the way the risk that they believe that this gives them the best chance, even if it's going to mean more close games in the second half.
But I do think if Jalen has to throw it a ton, they will be able to win. Now, over a 17-game season, is that the best way? No, but if this Sunday they get into a shootout, like, the numbers back up. Jalen can win shootouts. If the defense doesn't have a good game, Jalen has a track record of winning those shootout types of games. So I think they believe we'll play this way, and then if we get into it, we'll see.
If the game dictates what we need to do, we'll do it.
How many games this year of those that you're talking about?
So Green Bay, they won that one. I don't know what his pass attempts were in
that game. They didn't score 30 points, Green Bay. Green Bay scored 29, right? It was 34-29.
Maybe that one's not in my... I thought it was 34-30, but maybe...
No, it was 34-29.
Okay. Yeah. That one didn't count then, I think. Yeah,
I think the Eagles have only allowed 30 points, if I'm thinking back, twice this
Washington
year.
Right.
Washington and Tampa.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forget about that, Tampa.
And they lost both games.
Yep.
Now, he didn't play.
He didn't play in that one.
Well, he played in the beginning, but he didn't play overall. Right. Okay.
And the Tampa game, nobody played.
Right.
Yeah, everybody was bad in the Tampa game, for sure. 215-592-9494.
Well, I mean, when I say nobody played, I mean, he didn't have much out there.
He didn't have AJ. He didn't have Devontae.
Yeah, I looked at that box score. I'm like, what the hell is this?
Yeah. Aaron in Mount Airy, you're on WIP. What's up, A?
What's up, fellas?
What up, A?
What up, Aaron?
Yo, right quick, what's going on, ESPN?
I was
going
to say, I'm excited to be on at the same time as you. I love your calls when you call in.
Oh, don't butter him.
I do.
What's going on?
I texted Jack that. I mean, I'm just being honest. What do you want me to say?
I'm willing to go to the afternoon show.
I mean, you are. There's no question about it.
I just don't get the credit that Wade gets. But look, you know what? Jack.
We also don't get the heat that Wade gets either.
That is true. You're from Westchester by way of media. I'm pretty sure Jill's from Westchester as well. Where the hell y'all get Sutton and Walker from? Y'all are not from Montana.
Yeah, I know. Our countrymen.
It does have a bit of a Yellowstone vibe to it. I like it.
Well, Walker's from Yellowstone.
Yeah.
Like, actually. And Sutton, again, you know, just it sounds like a tough guy.
It does. I would agree with that. Although,
he's going to be a linebacker.
But yeah, like, and they're like, what's your name? Sutton Fritz?
Sutton Baker Fritz, yeah.
Here's the thing. We've seen the regression of the passing game over the last couple years. I looked it up. In 2022, we were the seventh best passing team, I believe. But I think that had a lot to do with teams didn't, because we ran the ball all the time in 2021, teams didn't understand the schemes that what we needed to make Jalen Hurts effective. Teams didn't understand that. So we took off when we added A.J. Brown. Then it dropped significantly last year and it got even worse this year. And we blamed it on the guy last year. And it's kind of starting to blame it on the schemes of Kellen Moore.
You're talking about blaming it on an offensive coordinator last year.
Who was our offensive coordinator? O'Brien Johnson.
I always want to say Ben Johnson. I'm like, no, he's the guy everybody likes.
Also, seventh in the league in points last year, seventh this year. For all the Brian Johnson hate.
Yeah, we're scoring points, but and I'm saying this to Jack, our passing game is so ugly. We watch other teams, and it just be so smooth, just boom, 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 boom. We cannot do that, and we all know why we can't do that. But, so I'm okay with if we got to grind it out to get the win and give it to Saquon Barkley. I don't care if we run them into the ground. I don't care about next year. I want to win the Super Bowl. And the best way to win it is to just keep the ball out of Jalen Hurts' hands as much as possible. If he'll make a play at the end of the game, and I don't think he'll kill it at the end of the game either. So I'm okay with how ugly it looks.
And yeah,
I'm okay with it because I just want to win. We need to win because let's be real. If we don't win the Super Bowl this year, the likelihood of us winning the Super Bowl next year it decreases.
Yeah, it's
yeah. For sure.
You know what's
yeah.
crazy too? We talked about Zach Bond a lot, but Zach Bond's a free agent. Milton Williams is a free agent.
Yep.
Darius Slay is a free agent, right?
Yeah, I think Slay essentially is.
Yeah, I'm just thinking about defense.
Thinking about defense.
Kenny Gainwell, not you know.
Yeah, wait. There's more on defense. Well, we don't know if we're gonna have N'Kobe Dean.
Yep.
Man, there's more than
Josh Sweat.
Oh, Josh Sweat.
Josh Sweat is a Brandon free agent Graham. As well. Yeah. Brandon Graham won't be. So the defense that has been so dominant this year, we really don't know from a personnel standpoint what that's going to look like next year.
Well, you know what to do. Just draft more Georgia players. That's the MO we're doing right now. Just draft more Georgia players as an Alabama player.
And failed Jets draft picks.
Listen, there's no doubt in my mind. What's that kid we just brought in from Georgia? The corner?
Scene or something?
Lewis Scene.
Oh, see, he was drafted a couple years ago. Didn't he get hurt?
Wasn't he a first round pick though? A couple years ago,
32nd overall. Yeah. He broke his leg his first year.
Yeah. Oh, I could see him and Keely Ringo battling it out for the Slay spot next year.
No, that ain't happening.
Oh, Isaiah Rodgers is a free agent.
I'm just saying they went and got the kid for a reason.
Yeah. And this time of the year too.
Yeah.
Yeah. On the roster, 53 men.
And another thing, I need Seth doing that. If you listen, please don't attack us. We're just giving our opinions on the game. And please don't attack us. I didn't like how you attacked us yesterday.
Yeah.
We're giving our opinions on how we feel about how the game played. Yeah, we're happy we got the win, but we're allowed to be a little critical.
Yeah, you know, thank you for the call, Aaron. I do
appreciate
think you're
it,
one of the best callers. So you guys mentioned to me the Chuck Seth call from yesterday, and it was on our Instagram account. So I listened to it, and I do think Chuck made a great point, and I thought that Chuck was right. What Chuck said. Now Chuck says it the way he says it, and when Chuck comes at you like that, the instinct is just to fire back at Chuck. I've been in that enough.
Who hasn't?
Right. Yeah. But like Chuck was the same because Seth's point was, look, we just need to appreciate this and not be critical all the time. And this is a great football team, so on and so forth. And Chuck's response was basically, hey, don't tell me how to feel as a fan. If I don't think it's good enough, then I don't think it's good enough. And Seth's response essentially was, well, I played the game. Mm-hmm. Well. Those are
you're talking about emotion
mutually
versus,
exclusive. Yeah. I have no doubt that Seth Joyner knows football better than Chuck knows football. I have no doubt that thing.
Sure, but, Chuck will love that.
But I thought Chuck's point was fair.
Yeah, it wasn't about knowing football.
No.
It's about how I feel about watching my team play.
Yeah, and Seth certainly has had years prior when the team has been winning and has been very critical of the team when they've been winning.
That's true.
So, you know, telling people how to feel about anything, like, you know, that's different than saying this guy's good, that guy's not good, so on and so forth. But telling people how to feel and how to just appreciate it and sit back. But like, if Chuck doesn't want to do that, I don't think Chuck needs to do that.
Has your feelings on the game changed with time? You know, like
Sunday's game?
Yeah, because I gave him a C- at the game. So I understood the initial frustration of that wasn't pretty looking. But I, since the game, I've felt better about it. Like, have you?
The game overall?
Yeah. And like Jalen and...
Well, no. I mean, the defense played awesome, and I thought the offense played pretty subpar. You know, I know they scored 22 points, but the first touchdown was essentially handed to them.
It was a short
field, right? And then the second touchdown, Dallas Goedert made a great play and ran people over. But I don't... You know, that was not... From an offensive standpoint, they score points, and it's great. But look, sometimes turnovers put you in position to score points. Sometimes they don't. We were put in position to score points by those turnovers, most notably the first one.
I would agree with the first one for sure. I mean, I do think...
Yeah, the one Slay caught was essentially a punt.
Yeah.
Right.
Deep one down the field.
When a team comes into your house in the playoffs, fumbles on the opening kickoff, and you... score on that first play, man, for that to be a one-score game in the fourth quarter, like that should be a game.
I thought they were going to blow him out it was 10-0.
Do you know what that reminded me of, that fumble? It reminded me of the Patrick Robinson pick six. Mm-hmm. I was just like, oh, this team has no chance of winning a game.
The game actually reminded me of the Tampa Bay loss in 2002. Like where early on, the emotion of like, here we go.
Had a big kickoff return.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Where it's out like, there.
Now, but One thing that's changed for me, though.
Thanks for bringing that up.
And yeah, I know. I was debating doing it. Like, and I think this is kind of the tough part about the Jalen. And how much credit does he get? Is he driving the team? Is he a passenger? Is you watch the Goddard play and you go, well, it wasn't a great throw by Jalen. And Goddard did all the work, right?
Right, yes.
But then afterwards, Nick's like, well, Jalen checked into that play based off what he was seeing and got it out to
Goddard. That's his job.
Correct. Yeah. Yes. But that's an important,
still, yeah,
but that's a critical part of the play.
Yeah.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes, so, but what we don't do.
Goddard's job is to catch the ball.
So
and
if you want to say he's just doing his job there, I agree. But that's him. Then that's him doing his job.
Yes, of course. What we don't hear about are the plays that he checks to that don't work.
Correct.
Yes.
Yeah,
so,
sure.
but yes, I agree with
you. But that's why I've always sided more on the, he has a lot to do with their winning because of things like that, that don't, it's not obvious, but like when you are the quarterback, you have so much control over the game. It's hard not to, you know, not to feel like you don't have a big impact on why they win.
Yeah, and Ike said that a bunch of times, that that is the job in Philadelphia. It's the hardest job that anybody has in sports, is that job. At the quarterback of the Philadelphia Eagles. Not just because you're a quarterback from the first thing, but being the quarterback here is another thing. All right. So
that's why
two
I make
things.
Nabs the GOAT.
We have a quote from Howie that I don't necessarily think he thought was going to get out there about Zach Bond. So we'll play that for you next. And I have a question for you about the Eagles and the Rams. That I'm pretty sure I know how you're going to answer, but I want to see you answer it. So that is coming up next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. It is Tuesdays with Elliot. Elliot Shore Parks is here. The Twitter question brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. It's engagement season. Visit the only jeweler with over 2,500 Google 5-star reviews, Mark's Jewelers, online at marks-jewelers.com. Do the Eagles need to get back to being more aggressive with their decisions during the game? The Twitter poll says 69.5% say yes and 35.5% say no. We have not fielded one call that said yes. And the two that said yes that I put on the air just collapsed when they're on the air, but it is what it is.
Man, yeah. Nick's probably like, I wish I could get these Twitter results back after that Jacksonville game and the Saints game. Yeah.
Yep. So first, Howie Roseman was on the Jason Kelce late night show.
Yes.
Is that what they were taping? And I guess the rule is you're not supposed to be recording things with your phone, but not every, you tell.
So I hate that rule. I've been at comedy shows where they do that. I hate the rule. But now stuff like this happens and I understand why.
Yes.
Well, and they don't want content that hasn't aired yet to be aired. I've been there to the show. So yes. They didn't confiscate our phones as guests, but they did confiscate the audience guests. Yeah, you put them in a bag.
Comedians, I understand, because what somebody does is they take 5 seconds of something.
It's out of context.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
It's just the sickness of when your phone's away for 4 hours. It's
like, yes.
it's when you start twitching.
Wait, it's funny. The other day I told Jack, I was like, I took Twitter off my phone. And he's like, well, what do you do with your phone then? And I was like, are you serious?
Make calls? So anyway, to set it up.
Yeah.
So I guess Howie was a guest on the Jason Kelce show.
Yes.
And I forget who got this clip, but it's on Twitter somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And
we were going to play the clip.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, right. Yeah. You don't need to.
I thought that's what you were asking.
Yeah, take a deep breath in there.
Yeah.
Well, he said set it up.
Yeah. So here's what Howie had to say.
Did you know Zach Bond was going to be this good? Be honest.
You know, I went to him, he made first team all pro, and I went to him and I congratulated him and I said, man, you deserve this. And he said, be honest. Did you think there was any shot at this? And I said, no. And please remember that when we do your contract.
Now, that's very funny. Well, look, obviously he didn't think so.
No.
He thought he was going to be an extra linebacker, a special teams player.
Yeah, Vic Fangio made sure people knew that.
Yeah, there are way worse things to be out there. I actually think Howie sounded really funny there.
Yeah.
Have you changed at all your idea, your thought about them re-signing him?
I think they're definitely going to re-sign him.
Really?
I just don't believe someone is going to give him a monster contract. I think the contract when he signs with the Eagles, it'll definitely be more than they normally pay a linebacker, but I don't think it's going to be, you know, oh my God, like I can't believe it's this much guaranteed and this much per year. I think he's going to get a nice contract, but I don't think it's not going to be like a 24-year-old stud linebacker that's on his first deal. That's just not where he's at in his career.
Yeah, I completely agree. And if you're Zach Bond, I'm sure he's tired of being a journeyman.
Yep.
As a player, you want to find somewhere that you can say is home. You don't want to have to jump year to year, different places, this and that. He's done that the last couple of years.
By the way, a coordinator who just put you in a position.
Oh, don't worry, I'm getting to that,
oh,
too.
I'm,
yes,
sorry.
Yes,
I'm sorry.
Yes,
I'm sorry.
And you're in a system where you've gotten to see the full potential of what you can be. Mm. You got a lot of great young talent around you, not just defensively surrounding you, that's going to allow you to continue to be the player that you are, but offensively. So you're going to be playing in big games over the next 3 years throughout your career. You may wind up with a championship or something on your finger.
Or two.
So to have that here from an organization and a coach that believed in you more than anyone else, I think that's worth considering taking a few dollars less. And obviously I'm talking maybe – you're talking millions when I'm saying a few dollars less. But I would consider that, because just because someone gives you more money doesn't mean that's where you're going to be the happiest. And if you enjoy playing here, you, more importantly, you enjoy playing with those guys and that organization, then you find a happy medium where you got some nice financial security, but you also continue to play for one of the best organizations in football. They get this done.
I also think, A, Howie's not letting a success story like this walk out the door, mm-hmm. right? Like, they right. finally got a linebacker, and there's that. But also, I do think Howie has shown he has a good read on the market. Like, the Hassan Reddick thing last year, it was, well, he wants $35 million or whatever it was. And Howie's like, I'm not paying you that. And then nobody paid him that. So I think that the initial, when they, and you notice there, he says when we talk about the contract, not when he's going to give you the contract. But regardless, like, I think the initial offer Howie will make, I don't think Zach Bond's going to go out there and find a huge amount more.
Well, you don't want to find out. So let's right. not play around.
No, I don't think he'll hit free agency.
Let's not be penny wise and pound foolish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what that? Yeah.
Nah, but I can context
okay, yes.
it out.
Okay, yes. Let's not do that.
Don't. That's when you try to save pennies and you cost yourself dollars.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. So, and N'Kobe's injury, to me, makes it even more critical that they do this, because N'Kobe's your second leading tackler who won't be ready at the start of next year. You need some stability there. So what are you going to do? Have Jeremiah and I don't know who, Oren Burks. Like, who's going to be there next year? So you got to have Zach Bond come back here next year.
And the other part of it is, we know Vic Fangio has a lot of say on that side of the ball.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank God Vic Fangio
is here. Yeah. Yeah. Now, I'm assuming Fangio's back next year, right?
Like, of course, yes.
Well, I mean, if they win the Super Bowl, who knows? But assuming he is back, I don't think there's any shot Fangio lets Bond leave.
Yeah.
I have a question about this, but I have to get you to understand, don't be penny wise and pound foolish, because you don't understand it. And
no, I do understand it. I just,
you do?
Yeah, he's talking about, like, say it again.
Okay.
In the context, I figured it out.
It's like, I don't want to fix my brakes. And you save your $200, but you end up hitting a wall because your brakes failed.
So
you,
I get the
concept
of
$5,000.
Right, yes. But why does that expression mean that?
So penny, a pound is think of a used to be, they don't have it anymore because they have euros, but in
trust me, I'm a soccer guy.
A pound was a dollar over there.
Yep.
So penny or dollar.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm never going to use it, but I understand what you're talking.
I needed you to.
I get what he said.
Spike wasn't letting that go.
No, I needed you to understand it.
You have a teacher call up and explain it to me.
Jack never understands.
See, that one
still
I
doesn't.
Get. Yeah.
It still doesn't.
Well, because you do throw out the bathwater, but you want to make sure the baby's not also in there. You
when
want...
have you thrown out bathwater?
I don't have a baby, but you have a baby, and you should listen to that.
Back to his point, you don't throw out the bath. Yeah, you drain the bathwater.
But I don't even have a baby.
And you probably don't have bathwater either, to be honest.
No, I
you
don't.
Even wa- you don't even wash water. Your hair. I can't imagine.
No.
There's a lot
Why
of
use water on it?
Yeah.
Okay.
The camera's the only one that they got to worry about with the bath.
Right? Yes, right.
That's true.
So if you got, I don't think it'll come down to this, but if it was re-signed Mekhi Becton or Zach Bond, which would you pick?
I got to go Zach Bond.
So I think
because they're both Howie success stories.
Right.
You know?
I think the answer is Becton, but I mean, just the offensive line's too important. And I know Tyler Steen has played well, but Becton could be, I mean, you could have the best offensive line for the next 3 years with this group. And Bond's awesome. It's a tough one, but look, we talk about it every day. This team is good because of the running game, right? So if you lose Becton and that goes away, like, I don't know how that impacts, you know, what the butterfly effect is.
Well, I'll tell you this. This was the number one defense in the league. They're already losing players. They're probably not going to re-sign Milton Williams.
No, probably not.
Probably not going to bring back Slay.
You don't think they're going to re-sign Milton Williams?
I don't know. I don't know. Milton Williams is a young defensive tackle.
Somebody, that whole thing about being young and having...
makes it different.
But we gave $17 million to Bryce Huff.
Oh, no, but he's still a third tackle here.
You don't think he's a second tackle?
No,
Jordan Davis only played...
Jordan Davis is the second tackle.
He played 12 snaps.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I don't give a damn how many snaps he played. Right, I'm just telling you.
They would rather have Jordan Davis.
Yes, yes. So that's what I'm thinking.
All right.
And for them, they got to re-sign Jordan Davis.
Yeah, I think they'll Jordan Davis, I doubt they'll pick up his fifth-year option, number one. Because as a defensive tackle, as a top 15 pick, it's got to be a high number. Like, Jordan Davis is not going to get a lot of money. Like, he'll get good money for a defensive tackle just because he plays the position. But Milton Williams is a better player than Jordan Davis.
For what they ask him to do. We'll see if Milton Williams can play 60 snaps for somebody and earn $20 million a year.
I agree with that, but...
So, and if you're Milton Williams, do you want to stay here and be paid as a reserve? Or do you want to go out and get starter money somewhere?
But you don't think they'll make him a starter. That's what I'm saying. I think they will...
The Eagles?
Yes.
No, they won't make him a starter.
All right. I'm surprised. I mean, he played 42 snaps yesterday, or 2 days ago.
Did he start the game?
Right, I get what you're saying, the first snap, but he played he played four times as many
That's
snaps.
That's not what
as...
you're asking me, though. You're asking me whether or not he's
right
going to be
Right now,
a starter
but once
there.
He gets the contract, then he'll be out there the first snap.
Why wouldn't they just do it now?
Well, I
don't know. They're not signing anybody in season.
No, I mean, why wouldn't he be starting out there now?
Well, I think there's still a little bit of Jordan Davis was a first-round pick, like all that. And it's just the first snap. I mean, I think they believe in that building Milton Williams is a better player than Jordan Davis.
I believe Milton Williams is a better player than Jordan Davis. But Jordan Davis fills a role on this team as a run stuffer that allows – that's the beauty of defense in football. It's not basketball. This isn't one-on-one. Give him the ball. Let him go cook. Everybody has to fit into a certain role, which makes the entire unit as good as it is. And so unless you got another 350-plus pounder that you can put in the middle of that defense that eats up blockers and allow other guys – see, Milton is more of a get-up-the-field –
He's
and get after the quarterback,
right?
So you're going to have to replace Jordan Davis at some point. And it's easier to, like, they can't give out $20 million to everybody. You want them to pay Becton and Williams?
I just don't think Jordan Davis is getting anywhere close to
$20 million. Forget about Jordan Davis.
Okay,
we're talking about Milton. Jordan Davis is here.
Yeah.
We're talking about letting another guy leave. So you think they're going to pay Milton Williams and Becton?
And remember, they're committed to Bryce Huff next year, too, who hasn't even play.
So I don't have a read on what Milton Williams will get. I don't think it's $20 million a year, but look, he's a good run. He is a good pass-rushing defensive tackle. Those people
get
paid.
But he's a rotational player.
He is, but I think you can find a Jordan Davis easier than you can find a Milton Williams.
I disagree with that. How many Jordan Davis as you see?
Like, size-wise, I agree. Yeah. But, like, as a player, he's not that effective. Like, he's a huge guy, and maybe you're right.
I think you don't really see the effectiveness of Jordan Davis. I'm not telling you he's a great player. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is he serves a role on the team that no one else can feel right now. And I don't think that's Milton Williams' sort of role on the team.
Right. I agree they're different players, but he did only play 12 snaps. So, like, his role is not that important.
I think the Eagles would tell you much differently.
Okay.
Can we finish this up after I talk about Gata?
Sometimes you have to just realize to relent and just let it go. Well, no, just let it go. Just let it go.
I'm actually going to change the topic after we talk about Gata.
Right.
Just going to talk about Gata's big winter sale. Come on. Come on, Alan.
I want to hear about it.
Yeah, this 40% off every window. 40% is a lot. Every window, every expertly installed energy efficient replacement window, which also comes with high performance low E glass, is 40% off. This will go through January. Gata's big winter sales event is to help you through the winter because you have those old drafty windows, those old doors, and they're going to give you 40% off. So I said windows, doors, every new door, 40% off. Insulated entry doors, garage doors, storm doors, they're going to let you start your project with no money down and pay it off interest-free for up to a year. Limited time only. Act now. Call Gata. Get all of the details, and while you're on the phone with them, set up a free in-home estimate at 877-GO-GUIDA or visit them at goguida.com. That's goguida.com. All right. Elliot, Jack, Ike want you to all answer this question.
Is Milton Williams?
Yeah, Milton Williams and Jordan Davis. All right. Start with Jack. I just want to, Elliot, you're going to be last.
Thank you.
Thank God.
For one game in the 2025 playoffs, you can have Sean McVay and Matt Stafford or Nick Sirianni and Jalen Hurts. What would you take
with this team?
With no team. I'm just telling you, you can have the head coach and the quarterback.
Oh, well, McVay and Stafford.
Okay. Ike?
Yeah, Jess, you're just saying in a phone booth, yeah, McVay and Stafford.
Elliot?
I mean, it's Nick and Jalen. Nick is 3-0 against Sean McVay.
What's their record in Super Bowls?
Well, yeah, they're both on. Well, they didn't go against each other. I would also take Andy and Patrick Mahomes, but that's not what we're talking about.
So just because Sirianni has won three times over McVay, you're throwing out the rest of the body of work and quarterback-wise.
I'm not throwing it out, okay. but like Stafford and Jalen have been pretty comparable this year if you look at their numbers, right? So I think it's mostly even there. I think Stafford has a way better arm than Jalen, but yep. Jalen, I think, does things that Stafford can't. So I view that as mostly even. Mm-hmm. And then when it comes to head coach, we've had this debate. Like, Nick has beat Sean McVay three times, so that matters to me. It's not the whole – I agree there's other bodies of work where, like, McVay has won a Super Bowl, but Nick got to a Super Bowl, so –
Well, McVay also got to another Super Bowl.
He did.
Yeah.
With two different quarterbacks.
Yeah. He did. He's a good coach. I agree.
And that win last night, you want to talk. I know the only thing that matters to you is cold weather, but when your team has to give up.
By the way, it might be cold on Sunday.
When your team has to give up a home. And this is separate of the. Well, it's part of the conversation. When your team has to give up a home game because the city you play in is burning down, and you play that game against a team that's 14-3. And you destroy that team. That was I thought last night from the Rams, look, that might have been all they have. And we might trounce them again on Sunday. Yeah. But that was a mighty impressive win, I thought, last night for the Rams. And I think it says a lot about McVay. And I think Matt Stafford, look, he's won a Super Bowl. He's a great player.
He's a great arm. He still makes some pretty crazy throws.
He does. Yeah. Well, that's how he plays. You know, that's part of the calculus.
I'm truly not trying to like diminish what the Rams did last night, because I agree with all the circumstances. It was impressive. But I also remember in 2022 when the Giants beat the Vikings, and it was, and you weren't here for this, I don't think, but it was like, well, maybe they're pretty good. Like, the Vikings are just frauds. So I think you have to take the Rams' performance in that game into consideration with who they were playing.
Yeah. I don't put...
Their offense might be frauds. Real quick, Vikings have the second best defense in the NFL. I mean,
it didn't look like it in the last 2 weeks. They played huge games. Yeah,
but I guess I don't think their defense is fraudulent. You might say that Sam Darnold's fraudulent. I don't think their defense.
I don't think their defense is fraudulent. But the point I'm making is when the Vikings play a big game, they lose it. So the Rams played well and they dominated that game. They deserve credit. And to your point, going to Arizona and all that. My opinion of the Rams doesn't change a ton based off of last night.
Okay.
No, it's not by a large margin. I think this is very close. I think both sides offer something different and what makes them unique. But, you know, I think for all of the Nick Sirianni as a player's coach and the players play for him and he gets his guys, you can say the same thing for Sean McVay. Like Sean McVay, I used to scoff at the whole boy genius, boy wonder thing with Sean McVay. Mm. When we used to do the whole Doug versus Sean McVay, I always took Doug. Mm. But over the last couple of years, I've been more impressed with Sean McVay, particularly after they won the Super Bowl, because they had to tear that team down. They had no draft picks. They got rid of Jalen Ramsey. They got rid of... Von Miller.
They lost Donald.
Like they lost a lot of guys over there. And his last 2 years of coaching, he's brought that team up to where they are. That isn't an overly talented team. He found Puka Nacua in the fifth round. Mm-hmm. He found Cooper Kupp in the third round, right? Kyren Williams, right? Like he's found these guys. These are guys they took in the first. They didn't even have first round picks. Right? For a couple of those years, they traded them all.
For like 5 years.
Yeah, so for him to rebuild that roster into what he's rebuilt it into, two playoff appearances in the last year, start this year off with the injuries that they've had, and they finished the season up 10-3, and to go on and win the way they did. And he already has a Super Bowl, and he's been there twice, and he traded away the number one overall pick in Jared Goff, who took him to the Super Bowl for Matthew Stafford. Like, he had the guts to do that.
Well, you can make
that's a lot in Sean McVay's call. Yeah. Like, he didn't have this type of roster. If you gave Sean McVay this roster, right, like, what would he do with this roster?
You could make the argument McVay is the second best coach in the NFL.
Maybe. I mean, again, but like, so I agree with everything you just said, but like, what would he do with this roster? I mean, the roster has been one of the best teams in the NFL under Nick. So maybe they're a little better. Maybe they win that Super Bowl. Maybe that's a difference. like the under Nick, this team has been awesome. So it's hard for me to think it would be much better with McVay. But McVay is a good coach. I agree.
I agree. I'm not saying it would be much better, but I don't know. You know, does last year happen?
He's just—he doesn't deserve to be in the Kyle Shanahan group that you had him in.
I agree,
McVay.
Yeah,
yeah, I agree. He's not a complete fraud like Shanahan. I agree with you on that.
He's been to more Super Bowls than Nick has. Kyle Shanahan
win one game in the cold before I can take you seriously. Okay.
Well, he's not winning Sunday.
Well, they won one in the cold in Green Bay with Jimmy Garoppolo when Rodgers choked. So
yeah.
There's your game on Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah, we're back to the stupid Shanahan.
I know y'all switched over to Shanahan.
Yeah, it's hard to keep up sometimes.
Now, Shanahan, I'm not as big of a fan of as I am with McVay.
Jack, why would you take McVay and Stafford?
I think they're better. That's why.
Why?
Because I think they're better.
But at what?
Designing an offense, throwing the football, basic things. Yes.
Okay.
Well, we always
and I do think if he was here, they'd be much better.
I don't.
Well, everybody's been. You always do the been to a Super Bowl. Well, those two guys won a Super Bowl.
No, and that matters. I agree.
So I
gave him a slight edge. He's a slight edge over.
I just wanted to hear why Jack did.
And I'm a Nick guy.
Yeah.
Because Jack thinks Sean McVay is a better coach than Nick Sirianni and thinks that Matt Stafford is a better quarterback than Jalen Hurts.
Hit the breaking news sounder.
Yeah.
Well, they weren't better this year.
Yeah, I was going to say.
The team was worse.
The team around them?
Yes.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd say Stafford was better than Jalen this year.
I don't know if he was either.
So you think Jalen was better than Stafford?
Yeah, I'm more solid with McVay than I am the Stafford. Stafford, obviously his resume is better.
Yeah, you've never been a big Stafford guy.
I'm not a big Stafford guy.
He is a special
And he has that bogus stat up there last night. Oh, he's thrown for 304 yards and everything. The guy had one playoff run. He choked in Detroit regularly. Those yards may have come in losing situations where he's just putting up garbage yards. That many wins. Detroit didn't win a damn playoff game for 40 years. So how good could he have been in the playoffs before he got to the Rams?
I've already got
Herbert.
They
didn't win a playoff game until Jared Goff got there last year.
I mean, Jalen's winning percentage has to be way higher than Stafford's.
and he had Megatron.
Yep, he had guys.
He had Megatron all those years.
At least he threw it to Megatron.
But that's all you had to do was throw it up there.
Well, he
does have a better arm, so yes.
Let me leave you with a question.
No.
And then you don't have to answer.
We never
just
let you get the last word.
Right. Why, do you think AJ is better because of the talent around him here? Because the offensive line is so good.
Everybody's better.
Okay, but then why is it with Jalen that diminishes his accomplishments? But I never hear anybody say Saquon's 2,000 yards.
Everyone does. Everyone says Saquon's 2,000 yards are because of the offensive line.
Right. But I'm saying AJ's accomplishments. Like Jack always brings up the team around Jalen. I don't hear that said of other players.
Everyone says it.
With Saquon, you're right. That was a bad example.
Yeah, but offensive line. Everyone credits.
Not with the receivers, though.
Well, yeah, I've said it a million times.
But it's different because a receiver
right.
of AJ's talent can go anywhere and be good as long as he has a quarterback that gets him the ball.
Mm-hmm.
He can't help that a quarterback won't throw the ball or doesn't, you know what I mean? Like who's Larry Fitzgerald didn't have anybody until he got Kurt Warner.
Brian Thomas Jr. just caught 150 yards a game DeAndre, with Mac Jones.
Malik Nabers up in New York, what he just did. Like what Andre Johnson did in Houston for years with no quarterback. Like those guys will be great no matter where they go as long as you get them the ball. Right. And I think AJ would be great. Right? AJ would be great no matter where you went.
Well, AJ's book got delivered to my house today, so I'm ready to read it.
Did you really order one?
Of course I did.
Yeah, well, a lot of people did.
Yeah.
You should read it during the game on Sunday.
What's the name of it again?
Yes. Inner Excellence.
Inner Excellence. You're not going to read a book.
Nah, I'll at least skim it.
Okay. You can get the Go Birds podcast. Which comes out twice a day during
twice
the playoffs.
That's right.
You get Go Birds Daily in the morning, and then Elliot and James after that comes out around 11 a.m. It's live at 10 a.m.
Live at 10 a.m. on the WIP YouTube.
Is there an audio version of that book?
What's that? I bet there is.
All right. I'm in.
Yeah.
He'll have headphones in next week on the sideline.
On the way to work, man.
All right, Elliot. Thank you, as always. Jordan Mailata joins us next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.